Hello, I'm Jolly Brooker, and welcome to So Wrong It's Right, a panel game celebrating the joy of failure. Yes, this is the show that hails the very worst of the very worst, but in a light-hearted, ironic way, rather than in a detailed analysis of the Armenian genocide sort of way. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't mention the Armenian genocide at all. Failure can begin early, although it's impossible to fail at school these days, with pass marks in maths sometimes being as low as 10% or 1 in 8. The Germans have a term for celebrating other people's failure. They call it Schadenfreude. We've got one too. It's the Got Talent franchise. Joining me tonight are the pathetic Richard Herring, who came here by bike, the pitiful Holly Walsh, walked, I think, and the successful, handsome, probably rich comedy writer Ian Morris, who glided into the studio on a cloud of his own smug accomplishments. OK, this round, the first round, is called Wrong Time, Wrong Place. I'll be asking my guests to cast their minds back over their useless lives in an attempt to out-wrong each other with mistakes from their own pasts. This week's question is, what's the worst thing you've ever done to impress someone? People say I'm a show-off. When I'm on a show, they turn it off. Not that anyone would have heard me make that joke. Magic tricks. Performing magic tricks can be impressive. I recently charmed a woman into bed by making 500 banknotes appear in her hand. True story. I can easily tell when I've impressed someone. Their eyes widen, their jaw drops open, they gasp, their tongue turns black. Oh, no, sorry, that's strangling. Okay, what's the worst thing you've ever done to impress someone? That's what we're interested in, Richard. I will start with you. I don't know why. I imagine you've made lame attempts to impress people.
I probably have. The one that springs to mind, when I was about 23, I kind of had this on-off relationship with someone who was at work, who was in a position of authority over me, really. And so it was kind of... It was a secret...
This is a teacher.
No, I was grown up. At the time, but it was this sort of on-off thing, and it was a secret. It was a secret thing we weren't allowed to talk about. And I thought one night it would be a good idea. What I decided to do was to just go round to her house unannounced and see if she was in, which is a crazy thing to do, you know, when you're not actually going out with someone. And to make it better, I bought a bottle of wine and a bunch of flowers from, like, a bucket outside of a newsagent. And so I went to her house and she wasn't in. And I sort of sat there on the steps for about 2 hours waiting for her, with other people in her flats walking past looking at me going, what are you doing? And I realised the flowers were essentially dead. and they were just really dried out. And so what I did, after 2 hours, I gave up, but left the bottle of wine and the dead flowers.
Warning!
So it's just like a terrifying... I came to meet you. I maybe left a note. I was there. I was here for hours, but you weren't here. Here are some dead flowers and some red wine. It's nearly romantic, but it really isn't.
It's like what you might find on the grave of an alcoholic. He liked his wine, and well, he got those. They're dead now.
Just turning up with standing forlornly on someone's steps.
Yeah, it's a disaster from start to finish. I thought it had to be the worst way to attempt to.
I can't picture Daniel Craig's James Bond doing that. It's traditionally the stink of desperation.
It's got everything.
It's off-putting to the opposite sex.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you think that's why she stayed away? Because you could smell the desperation from, like, Pizza Express, wherever she was on a date, most probably.
Yeah, she was obviously out with someone else. It's a disaster to take that. I mean, what an idiot.
Well, you were 23.
And she was a horrible cow as well. What was that?
I once tried to impress a girl by... Well, I did several... It was Valentine's Day, and I thought, I used to do, sort of cartoons and things. I'll draw a Valentine's card. But I'm going to make it all alternative. And so I'll draw a really anatomically correct, human heart that looks like it. I thought it was a bit of a joke. It was supposed to be a bit of a joke, like, be my Valentine. I've drawn this incredibly gruesome, bloodied human heart. And that was taken as a threat. When you say it was an on-off relationship, what did you do?
Was it that it was on for you, but off for her?
You're a woman.
I'm not speaking on behalf of the women.
You're speaking on behalf of all, but can you smell desperation?
From here?
It
sounds like a brand of Lynx. Lynx desperation.
Pity. OK, Holly, What's the worst thing you've ever done to try and impress someone?
I was in a similar situation so far as I was trying to impress a boy. I was 13 and a half, and I was on a school trip to Guildford Spectrum Leisure Centre. Is anyone here from, are you from Guildford? Yay! Party capital of Surrey, after Woking. But I was at Guildford Spectrum, and there's a massive diving pool with like three different sized, diving boards. And I thought it'd be really impressive to show off to my classmates on the school trip and the boy I fancied by diving off the top diving board, which is not a good idea in any time. I was sort of climbed up trying to look as sexy as possible, as sexy as you can when you're wearing a one-piece school regulation swimming costume with your name tape on the front. And I got to the top, I looked over, I instantly regretted it, but I couldn't go down because there was a queue of people behind me, so I jumped. And I don't know whether it was sort of beginner's luck or whether I have an innate talent for diving. I've never been diving since, but I did an amazing sort of forward somersault and then entered the water incredibly gracefully, and I was sort of like rising to the surface thinking I was going to get a round of applause. When I came up through the water, all I could hear was people screaming, and it turned out as I'd entered the water I'd given myself a massive nosebleed. So there was a huge slick of blood, my own blood. Was like gushing with blood. Next thing I know, I'm being dragged out of the pool by like this middle-aged lifeguard. Nothing like David Hasselhoff. It was awful, right? And I'm being put in the recovery position against my will, which is, that's a really awkward angle to be seen. And all my classmates are standing around me, sort of like looking horrified. And not only did nobody fancy me ever after that, I also meant that everybody was evacuated from the pool and they had to actually empty the pool. So I completely ruined the school trip for everyone.
Is that what a sorry tale.
Well, that's the worst thing that ever happened to me.
Was it like a scene from Jaws as you were a sort of red foam?
Yeah, it was just me being pulled under by my own nosebleed.
Of course, it makes sense that if you get a nosebleed in a pool, they have to empty the whole pool. They can't just ignore it.
No. In the sort of 70s and 80s, when I went to a lot of public swimming pools, they sort of didn't really. There's all sorts of things.
It was like a soup.
It basically was, yeah.
Human soup.
Do you think they had to empty the pool because sharks can smell blood from like 5 miles away? So there were sharks coming from Woking, Dorking. They were training themselves 25 minutes from Waterloo. They could be coming from there. Yeah.
They're going to get stuck in that little sort of Veruca pool.
They'd be like, oh, I can't have a big tail in the Veruca pool. I can't get it clean.
That's a harrowing tale. Ian, what's the lamest thing you've ever done?
I mean, this could take a long time because it's pretty much my whole life has been spent trying to impress people and failing pretty spectacularly. But one of the things was that I was at university in my first year and I didn't get into a hall of residence, which is effectively saying you're a pariah. But luckily, I was studying theology and religious studies, so I had lots of friends. lots of friends through that course, obviously. I had no friends for a year. And about 2 months from the end. No, don't pity me, I'm over it now. Or am I? And towards the end of the year, basically, one of the sort of trainee vicars, because that's pretty much who was on my course, took pity on me and invited me to his hall of residence, his end of year ball. And so I went along thinking, I don't even know this guy very well. He's like a trainee vicar and he's taking pity. I've got a pity invite from a vicar. And I'm thinking, this is not what was on the box when I signed up to go to university. This is not what I was expecting for a year at university. So I went along, I went in black tie, and I was there for a couple of hours, and I'm thinking, no one really spoke to me, I didn't really speak to anyone else. It's quite a big do, this big hall of residence. And then suddenly, I was about to leave, and from nowhere, this girl came up to me, and she kissed me on the mouth, with tongues, and she said, take me back to my room and, make love to me. And I was like, I mean, she didn't say make love, but she did say something like that. And I said, and I remember thinking, this is amazing. This is actually what I thought would happen at university. It's been a year, and now this is literally the first girl that's kissed me probably for 2 years. This is great. So we walked out of the sort of disco bit, and then just out the corner of my eye, I saw the next room, and it was a huge room, huge parquet floor, and I thought, this girl's a free spirit. Maybe I've got to prove to her I'm also a free spirit. And I was like, let's just do something young. We're young and crazy. Let's do something young and crazy. And I actually said that, because it's burnt in my brain. And I said, come on, let's skid. Did you ever skid as a child? And she went, I'm sorry. And this is probably the third thing she said to me was, I'm sorry, when I said, let's skid. And I threw my shoes off. And I was like, let's skid. And I went up the parquet floor and then back down the parquet floor. And I remember seeing her face as I came back towards her skidding, going, wee! And she looked sort of, I think it was just about to become horrified. That look when people are a bit like, I'm worried, I'm about to become horrified. And then I skidded back. And then by the time I turned around, she had gone. And it was, you know, I remember my father, before I went to university, my father said to me, it doesn't matter what grades you get, just try and be the big man on campus. And I was like, and I remember thinking catastrophic at that moment, well, I'll never be the big man on campus now. That's going to pretty much ruin that.
I liked the idea of this sort of erotic...
No.
Like, it was like a Channel 5 adult drama. Theology Nights.
But it was kind of like... the girls at university, they're the trainee vicars, they're impossible.
You would never
they're
get
impossible.
One of them.
It's like being... It's like the women who go after gay guys. It's like one above that, isn't it? There's gay guys they're impossible to sleep with, and then there's the vicars. You'll never never sleep with them. I'm going to give it a go. And then he started skidding around on the floor. No wonder he's becoming a vicar.
I love the idea of there being good hags who just hang out. Oh, that monk's costume really turns me on.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, at the end of that, Richard, you had the bottle of wine and the dead flower sort of memorial service. Holly was... You bled from the face as you hit the water, and Ian, you skidded your way out of a sexual encounter with a vicar. Well, you know what? I'm going to give a point to Holly, because this is an element of the horror movie. OK, the next round is called Do Your Worst. It's a test of my guests' capacity for creative cocking up. This week, I'll be asking them all to pitch an idea for a new internet business. Some experts have predicted that within just 5 years, the internet will attain self-consciousness and become an independent thinking entity. So, Peter Andre, the race is on. Scientists have speculated that, looked at in three dimensions, the internet is shaped much like the human brain. Well, it's certainly like my brain in that it's 98% pornography and 2% video game. Anyway, Ian, we'll start with you. What's your online business model, schemata, web domination, value package type thing?
Well, let's look at it this way. What works? What's popular? Social networking. So it's a social networking site that gets rid of... You know, it works with sites like Bebo, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, etc., but it funnels them down to what's essential about them. So effectively, it's a way to much more precisely stalk your ex-girlfriends or boyfriends. What it does, there's a lot of chaff out there. So it goes to all those sites. It immediately directs you to any slightly sexy photographs they might have had, say, nights out, holiday snaps, that sort of thing. It also prioritises for you dickish things their new boyfriends might be doing. So something they might have said any time they add, they say, LOL or Rufflecopter, for example. Anytime more than three exclamation marks are used, you get an alert. You can go, he's a dick, isn't he? So that's pretty much what it does. And also, it'll let you know when she's had a career setback or, you know, maybe her status has changed. Just a good time to poker, offer a game of Scrabble, something like that. That's what it'll go for. It'll let you know these things. And also, the way the page is set up, it'll constantly bombard you with messages saying this is normal and totally fine. Nothing to worry about. What you're doing is totally fine.
I thought you were going to say it's all with the way the page is set up. It all looks like you're viewing it through the eye hole of a balaclava.
Not a bad idea, Charlie, if I may say.
Okay, so that's sinister, but I can see the appeal.
Well, I thought maybe expansion pack for people you sort of fancy at work or people at school doing worse than you, those sorts of things you could add in.
It's terrifying. This is basically what you're doing there is building up a file of evidence against yourself. Does it just email the results straight to the police? That'd be good. Holly, what's your...
I've devised a website which is called Relicycle, and basically it's... we all know the success of websites like Freecycle, where people advertise things that they no longer need and then someone comes and picks it up. Well, this is specifically for unwanted family members. So, for example, I've got a grandmother who I no longer need. She, you know, she means nothing to me. I can't afford to put her in a home. So I advertise on Relicycle, and then, you know, I say, like, I've got a granny, her name's Edith, in the Lewisham area. You know, come and pick her up. So, like, if another family wants a granny, or maybe they just want to break her down for parts, that's all... it's going to be like self-regulating, you know, like on eBay, how you can rate sellers. So, you know, like if somebody rips you off and they go, great, I picked up Edith, she died a week later. And she wasn't even a real granny, she was a step-granny.
Callous. You callous witch. I mean, you said that with such a sort of sweet smile. It's a monstrous idea. Richard. Richard, how about you?
Well, there's a lot of price comparison sites, and I wondered if we could take that out. And I thought about doing a life comparison site, where you could maybe call you've wasted your life.com, in which you have to type in all the achievements you've had in your life, mm-hmm. and then they're compared to everyone else in the world by computer, and then it gives you a score of where you come. Maybe there's one just for everyone in the world. You could do, like, I think we're getting there with, like, friends and people from school. You could have a section. I think you could have you and famous figures from history who are the same age as you. So you get Jesus at 33, achieved quite a lot. You're watching Hollyoaks. Every Sunday, despite having seen every episode in its original 6:30 evening show.
Would it say, well, you're doing worse than Jesus? You're, yes. you're doing better than, I don't know, Paul Heine, the consumer affairs journalist.
Well, someone's got a bit too big for their boots if they think they're doing better than Paul Heine.
I'm not saying that.
All right.
If I did that, I found out recently that Holly Willoughby went to my rival's school and she's exactly the same age as me.
Right.
She's now doing incredibly well and has, yeah. like, an amazing husband and children.
Yeah.
That would just be...
She's really nice. I've met her as well. She's super nice.
She is. She's really nice. And she's funny. She's really funny, actually. She's really funny. And then you just get a score, you know, out of 4 billion people. I mean, it would be good if you were one of the people who came, like, in the top 10. You'd feel quite good. But most of us would come... like 3 billion.
Yeah, all but 10 of us would come.
I mean, so there'd be 10 very smug people, it would be a very good sight for most of humanity.
Yeah.
It would be an awe just to be told of, you know, how you've wasted your life. It's a wonderful opportunity to be alive for this brief period of time and we waste it.
But surely, I mean, you could compare yourself, like, I could get depressed comparing myself to, like, Mozart.
Yeah.
But then, no. If I'm alive and eating a sandwich, that's more than he can bloody. So it's all relative.
But then in a shorter time span as well, so that's taken into account. He had a short life and, you know, you'll have a longer life and achieve less.
You know what? I like that idea because I'm obsessed with that sort of thing. I'm always committed. It's all a monstrous game, all of this. It's all a race. It's all a race. I'd knife all of you in the eye just to get 1% more than any of you. Yes, I appreciate that idea, so I'm going to give a point to you, Richard.
Thank you.
Well done. The next round is called This Putrid Modern Hell. I'll be asking each of my guests to nominate the most irritating thing about modern life. My favourite answer wins a point. The one good thing about today's modern broken society is that we've all become so alienated and fragmented, I no longer have to look anyone in the eye, let alone speak to the idiot. We'll start with you, Holly. Holly, what annoys you most about the modern world?
I have a personal vendetta against self-checkout machines. I absolutely hate them. The revolution starts here. I used to work in Marks & Spencer's on the in the food hall, and it's really galling to see a machine doing the same job as you are, but for less money and with more manners. That's just horrible. But I saw the most amazing thing. I was in my local Sainsbury's. It was like a 24-hour Sainsbury's. It was quite late at night. And this guy in front of me had a few too many to drink, and he was trying to use one of these self-checkout machines. And they're complicated enough to use at the best of times, let alone when you're wasted. And it clearly got the better of him, and he decided the best thing to do at the heat of the moment would be to headbutt it. Which is... pretty impressive in itself, but he clearly did it much harder than he meant to and got concussion. He sort of had to steady himself by slumping down next to the machine, at which point I swear to God there was a smug silence before it went, unexpected item in bagging area.
I can relate to that. I hate those because it's like you're working for them.
I was using one in the Isle of Sheppey recently, in the Tesco's there, and don't ask why, it's not a good story.
Is it completely abandoned island?
It's pretty much, it's pretty terrifying. And the woman was standing there, and I was putting the stuff through, you know, and I had a grapefruit, and she stood watching me with her arms folded, and she worked at Tesco's, it wasn't just like a woman, it was a woman who worked at Tesco's, and I thought, oh, I can't see the barcode on that, so I just, you know, press the thing, and fruit, grapefruit, put it on the thing, one, put it through, and then paid, and just as I was paying, she went... yeah, there is a barcode on that, actually. I went, I'm sorry. She went, yeah, there's a barcode. You had your thumb under it. Your thumb was over it. And I went, yes, I've paid. But she went, yeah, I know, you could have done it quicker. What?
Richard. Richard, what annoys you about?
I think, surprisingly, I go to the gym, and you may be surprised to hear this, but because I'm getting older now as well, I am turning into this typically middle-aged man who gets annoyed by other people being inconsiderate, and I just hate kind of bad gym etiquette is the thing that really annoys me. So if you're in a gym that has towels, there's a place where you can put your used towels afterwards, which is like always about 2 feet away, but some guys just drop their towels on the floor and leave them all over the place because they're thinking, oh, someone will come and tidy that up for me. But hey, you're leaving them all over the seats and it's someone else's dirty, disgusting,
maybe
wet towel.
Maybe dropping them in a sexy way. Like, oh, I'm just going to drop this by Richard Perry.
Not in my, but they're always intimidating as well. So I'd love to go, excuse me, I don't think your mum works here.
She probably wouldn't be allowed in the men's changing room.
Might be quite nice. But then I kind of feel that if that happens, she might come in and go, well, I do actually work here. You could do a nice advert for my campaign, I think, where that happens, and then an old woman comes in and goes, oh, sorry, my mistake. And she's looking, checking out the guy's packages, going... You know, there's all sorts of things. It's people who use... there's a guy at my gym who uses the hairdryer to dry every part of his body. And I think that is insane. I don't want to use it. Even though it's not directly touching, so there's a little gap. Still in my mind, that hairdryer has been linked by hot air, and I'm then going to be using it on my hair afterwards.
Do you think that's
like a really good? That sounds like a really good act on Britain's Got Talent. Ian, what annoys you about the modern world?
Can I have a person?
Yes.
I find it not annoying so much as baffling, which is Richard Hammond. And, I mean, well, that's it. I'll stop there, I think. No, it seems to have gone quite well. No, I find it, what I think is amazing about Richard Hammond is that here's a man who, you know, in one hand, you could probably count how many people in the world have seen and known for certain their own death. Intellectually known what was going to happen, known how fast they were travelling, known, you know, what they were going to hit, known what was going to happen, known that they were going to definitely die. And, you know, you talk about Amazonian tribes, talk about people in China. I mean, you know, across the world, there are maybe a handful of people who have seen and known their own death and then come back to full health. And he did another series of Top Gear. He knew God. He knew his own definite demise and thought, well, I haven't exhausted the Captain's slow jokes yet. Maybe I should go and do that. I'll grow a slightly floppier fringe. Maybe I'll do Brainiac. That's what it was. Like, he must have some knowledge, and he's come back, and that's what he's done.
Well, maybe the terrifying implication of that is that he's seen beyond this
yes,
realm.
Yes, that is what's terrifying.
And that's all there is to do. OK, so, to summarise, Holly, you're annoyed with self-checkout machines. Richard, you picked bad gym etiquette. And Ian, Richard Hammond. Well, you know what? Ian, I think you get a point. Oh, no. Okay, so it's final round time. I'll be asking my guests a series of quickfire questions. The wrongest answer to each one wins a point. We'll start with, what's the worst advertising slogan imaginable?
Apple computers. Do you think you're a bit arty?
basically, for any soft drink, I mean, they're trying to make soft drinks like they make you cool and be able to do things. If it just was, this is a soft drink, the only effect it will have on your life is to make you need a wee. and perhaps burp.
I don't like the slogan, because you're worth it. Because, like, it makes people think they are. And they're just not.
I think the flip side of that is that because you're worth it, and that's how low is your sort of like self-esteem that you think you're worth a $1.99 bottle of shampoo? That's pretty depressing.
Actually, when you put it like that, I don't think I am worth it. okay, well, you know what? I'm going to give Holly a point. What's the worst advice you could give someone who fancies a co-worker?
You could tell them to go and find out where they live. Set the steps. Some dead flowers and a bottle of wine. Leave them there with a note.
The worst advice would be, why not take her on a date to a greenhouse? Because if there's one thing a businesswoman loves, it's a glass ceiling.
That sounds like that's like an answer off an 80s episode of Blind Date. Well, you know what? I am going to give a point to Holly. Who is the worst person you could be stuck on a desert island with?
I thought, well, Richard Dawkins. So as you were watching the sun go down, you know, alone, the two of you, just thinking this, watching the sun, beautiful sunset, and he'd go, you know, it's just gases. Yes, all right, I get it. You know, and you'd be sitting there praying, praying for a ship to come. And he'd be like, yes, it's not going to work. Yes, I know. I know the prayer. I'm an atheist. I know the praying's not going to work, Richard. I get it. Stop going on about everything I see. No, I'm not being to do with God. I'm just having a moment.
Gazing up at the majesty of the stars. It's pointless.
It's pointless.
Idea that if you were trapped on a desert island, you'd be looking at the sunset going, oh, this is beautiful.
Well, for one moment.
It's like being on holiday, isn't it? Self-catering.
You probably allow yourself one moment to allow the thing that matters. Sponsor the dolphins with There's No God, Stop Worrying, and, you know, sorry. No, it's OK.
I'm going to give Ian a point for Richard Dawkins. What's the worst way to start a telephone call?
Goodbye.
Unless you're being arch.
If you're a 999 operator, well, it's instead of fire, ambulance, what are you wearing?
How about, hello, is that Andrew Sachs?
Yeah, that's been proven. Yeah, I hate it. I just hate it when you ring up and people are enjoying themselves. Like, you get that thing where they answer, they go, hi! It just sort of doubles the loneliness.
Especially when it's the Samaritans.
I'm going to give you a point for that. Okay. What's the worst idea for a birthday gift?
Is it a cake that's a pie chart that shows you the amount of your life you've wasted and how little is left? On the top, happy birthday, like that, colour coded.
That's a horrible idea.
Was that not the point?
No, it is. But personalised gifts in general are weirdly impersonal because they just remind you that you are just an interchangeable, like, name tag. You know, dear Charlie, happy birthday. You just think, I am just a tiny little blob, an insignificant blob that can just be rubber stamped on a product. Happy birthday.
It's like when they do those world's best dad, and then they're like 80 of them. You think, world's number one dad, you can't all be.
Yeah, why not just give you a mug that says, you know, world's 858th dad?
Why not just refer your dad to my website? I mean, and you'll be able to find out whether he is the world's number one dad.
Dad rankings. No. Doesn't sound right, does it?
Not so good in the Far East, that one.
Okay.
I actually got the worst birthday present of my life this year. I got a £10 gift voucher for Lidl. Which apparently makes me a 40% stakeholder in the company.
I'm going to give Holly a point. Okay, that noise means the game is up, making Holly this week's worst contestant. But well done to everyone, and thank you. That's the end of the show. Goodbye.
So Wrong, It's Right was hosted by Charlie Brooker with guests Richard Herring, Holly Walsh and Ian Morris. The producer was Aled Evans, and it was a Zeppotron production for BBC Radio 4.